You knew it was coming. The latest job numbers show the unemployment rate is increasing. Hi, I'm Rob West. As the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, the economy is slowing down, and a weakening labor market has to follow. It's time to sharpen your job hunting skills, and I'll tell you how to do it. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, by some measurements, the job market is still strong, but the trend is definitely heading in the wrong direction. If you haven't been job hunting lately, you'll want to pay attention because some things have changed. Proverbs 27:12 warns, "The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." You definitely don't want that. Now, there was a time when you just updated your resume, sent it out, and then waited for a phone call or an email from a hiring manager. That still could happen, but I wouldn't count on it. Fortunately, there are a number of things you can do to improve your chances of landing a job. Let's start with some of the rules that haven't changed. The first is networking. I know a lot of folks hate the idea of networking, but it's really important. By some estimates, up to 85% of jobs are filled without being advertised, and networking has a lot to do with it. You need to make a plan to contact at least one person you know every day and let them know that you're looking for work and what kind of work you'd like. Keep a list of people you've talked to and notes about the conversation. To take the anxiety out of networking, always ask the other person if they're also looking. Offer to be on the lookout for opportunities for them as well. If you make it as much about the other person, you won't feel like you're being a burden. You also need to improve your job skills, whether you're seeking new employment or not. It's easier than ever these days to find online classes for additional training. Concentrate on skills that transfer to other types of businesses or industries, things like customer service, HR, and bookkeeping. Then update your resume and LinkedIn profile to show those skills or certifications and specify how they increased revenue or cut expenses in your current or previous jobs. Now, something else hasn't changed. We've talked before about how important it is to never badmouth a previous employer in an interview or on social media, no matter how tempting or deserved. No good can come from it. We've also talked about not posting any kind of objectionable material on social media. The rule is, if you don't want your grandmother to see it, don't post it. A Career Builder survey revealed that more than half of employers found content on social media that caused them to eliminate an otherwise promising candidate. So all of that still holds true, but here's what's changed. These days, you have to use social media in a positive way. It's not just about avoiding bad content. You want to use those platforms to highlight your favorable attributes. That same Career Builder survey found that 70% of employers use social media to check up on candidates. And get this, almost half said that an applicant's social media content contributed to their decision to extend a job offer. That's how important social media has become. You know what else has changed? Since COVID, many jobs are now being done remotely. That can be a real blessing, but it also presents new challenges. You may not even go into the company office for an interview. That means you have to be ready to make a good first impression in a video interview. Employers now know that they can save a lot of time and trouble by doing interviews on Zoom or some other video platform. If you've never used them before, set up a practice session with a friend or family member so you can get comfortable with the process. Position your computer so there's a professional-looking background or at least nothing that appears untidy. Adjust your camera so you're eye-to-eye with the interviewer. You also want to dress much like you would for an in-person interview. And don't think that's only from the waist up. If you suddenly have to stand up for some reason, you don't want folks to see your jammy bottoms. Also, alert others in the house not to disturb you during the interview. Close the door to keep out noise from the rest of the house. Everything else is much like you'd prepare for an in-house interview. Have a copy of your resume and other related paperwork handy in case the interviewer refers to it. And finally, follow up the online interview with an email expressing thanks no later than the next day. So those are ways you can sharpen your job hunting skills and be ready for whatever the economy brings. We hope you'll take advantage of them. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. You can call that 24-7, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. A few months ago, you probably didn't want to go outside. There was snow covering all you could see, maybe. Your surroundings looked quiet and dead, but then spring came. The Lord uses this imagery in the Bible to describe what life in the new creation will be like. Life will be so much greater than we can imagine. But to help us, God uses images we do understand to give us hope. Isaiah 35, 1 and 2. He says, "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and bloom. What was once quiet, even dead, will be transformed." Springtime shows us that one day we will be surrounded by the light of Christ, and the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. You'll see Christ more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and it's time to take your calls and questions today. We'd love to hear from you with whatever you're thinking about financially. We'll help you apply the wisdom from God's Word, the principles and big themes, a biblical worldview, if you will, to the financial decisions and choices you're making today, beginning with our identity in Christ, our focus on the eternal, not the temporal. Our idea is that we want to surrender our lives fully to Christ, including our finances, or we might say His finances, because God owns it all. And then moving from there, that position or identity in Christ, out to the principles that we see in God's Word, and ultimately how we apply those principles to the actual decisions and choices you're making today. Keep in mind, our beliefs inform our behaviors. You might think of an iceberg. The 90% below the waterline is the why, the worldview. That informs the how. The 10% above the waterline, God. So as we really understand God's heart related to his money and our role as stewards, well, we can make better decisions each day as we work that out in our finances, which, by the way, I believe is one of the key ways our financial journey is one of the key ways that God shapes our spiritual journey, because it's a tangible expression every day of where we place our trust and what we value. Well, we do that together as we gather on this program each day and work that out in the context of the decisions you're making right now. So what is it? Your investments, your debt repayment, maybe it's your giving journey or your spending, whatever it might be. We'd love to tackle it with you. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We've got several lines open. We'd love to hear from you. Let's begin in Texas today. Scott, go right ahead.
Yep, hold on just a second. Eh?
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Yes, sir. So my wife and I are kind of hitting what we consider, Lord, to be putting us into a transition phase. We basically have about $35,000 in a savings account, and then we have another, I've got $18,000 right now, or a little over, in a 401k. And what we feel like the Lord may be doing is moving us, you know, possibly out of the country to do some mission work, and trying to get a good idea of what best to do with the, you know, at least a good portion of this, and then of course keep some of it liquid. We have availability of that if we need it.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, first of all, I love this idea, Scott, that you are open to the leading of the Lord. And in this next season of life, perhaps he's leading you to the mission field, which is incredible. One of my mentors, the author Ron Blue, would often say, we want to handle our money in such a way that we can live or die, give or go. And I love that flexibility that comes from ordering our finances God's way, not being overly encumbered, which might limit our ability to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit as we live or die, give or go. And you guys are thinking about going, and that's awesome. Talk to me about how you would cover your expenses. What will your income look like while you're on the mission field?
We are actually both looking at going remote. My wife is a physician, and so she's looking at the possibility of doing, you know, something where she is working remote, doing telemedicine.
Okay.
And then myself, I would say I have a very wide base of talents, including I taught school here in Texas for about 4 years. So I've got a teaching degree. But I have looked at, you know, just doing even just basic customer service, kind of part-time during that time as well.
Yeah,
and both
good.
Of us just working part-time to help supplement.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Well, that makes sense. So sounds like you've thought through that. I mean, I think you're pretty well positioned just as you are. I would see this $35,000, especially given these changes on the horizon and some of the uncertainties about exactly how that's going to work out and whether there'll be a gap in income for a period of time. I'd leave that liquid, all of it, in a high-yield savings account. I'd look at probably one of the online banks that you could link it to another checking account, then move money as needed. You'd get, 4%+ interest while you're waiting, no fees. It's readily available if you need it, but at least you're earning some interest. And then you've got a start on your retirement savings there in your 401k. And as you have the ability, perhaps down the road, you could add to that if you have access to another 401k at some point, unless God keeps you on the mission field. But in the meantime, just keep that invested for the long term and just let that continue to grow. So I don't see any significant changes other than perhaps repositioning that $35,000 for to maximize the interest.
Okay. And I've heard you speak about the online before savings. Now, can you remind me what I think you had mentioned a couple of them to someone one time.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I mean, you could look at a number of options there. I'd probably check out Marcus. Marcus.com, that's the retail operation of Goldman Sachs. They have great rates, no fees, really strong just in terms of the strength of the institution. Of course, FDIC insured. If you want to look at some other options, you could go to bankrate.com and you can sort by, you know, the banks, the online banks that have the very best rates, and they actually rate them as well on a five-star rating system. But if you want to just head right to one, Marcus would be a great one.
Sounds great. I appreciate it.
All right. Hey, Scott, all the best to you guys. We'll certainly join you in praying that God will just make it really clear where you're supposed to go next, and you'll just see great fruit come from your service to the Lord overseas. Thanks for being on the program, my friend. God bless you. By the way, we do often recommend several institutions for you to maximize the interest rate on your savings. Some of our listeners, though, are not looking necessarily to just always get the best rate. They're looking to really be a part of a bank or a credit union that aligns with their values and priorities. And I might mention, if you're looking to do that, that's important to you, check out Christian Community Credit Union. They've been longtime partners of ours here at Faith and Finance. You can learn more at joinchristiancommunity.com. Again, if you're looking for a banking solution that aligns with your values as a believer, joinchristiancommunity.com. You can learn more there and the great work they're doing, not only to serve believers with banking solutions, but to use a portion of what the profits that they have to fund some incredible kingdom activities. You can learn more at joinchristiancommunity.com. All right, 800-525-7000. Quickly to Mississippi. Hi, Charlotte. Go ahead.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for calling.
My husband passed away in March. I had never done a bank statement. I didn't know anything about what I was getting into. He had no long-term care insurance, no life insurance, and no burial insurance. I didn't get his Social Security because I made more money than he did. So it has put me in a financial situation. I've got a 401k, and I've got some money in the bank.
Yeah.
In my, just a regular checking account. I get a retirement payment from where I worked, and then Social Security. Okay. What I would like to say is for the listeners, I'm 76 years old, and God has sustained me, and He's been with me, and He's been my guide. But make sure that you are prepared for your older life, because it is so hard when you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Charlotte, I want to make sure that you share everything that's on your heart. I'm up against a break. If you don't mind, I'd like to ask you to hold right there on the line, and let's pick this up on the other side. We'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some phone lines open today for your calls and questions or even a testimony. 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Charlotte in Mississippi. Charlotte shared that her husband passed recently, and she's really been struggling, having not ever had a budget, worked with a bank statement, understood a lot of the things just on a daily and monthly basis that go into basic financial management. Although God has provided for her, and he's been faithful, and she's quick to say that, she's struggled, and she'd like to share or continue to share what God has placed on her heart just to encourage you as you think about preparing for this season of life. And Charlotte, you shared a bit of that before the break, but I'd love for you to pick up there and continue with whatever God's given you.
Well, I have such fear because our world is topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
And that Social Security will not be there, or something will happen to my retirement money from where I work. And I try to have faith and put my trust in you. I pray that the Lord watches over me and hears when I cry out to him. But I know he's the living God, the one and only God.
Yes.
But my human side takes over, and I'm overwhelmed because it seems like when someone dies, you are so stressed out, and it's such a new life. And to have all the many things that happen just in a death, that from picking out the casket to the money we had to pay, I had to pay cash. But it sure did knock me down a bit.
Yes.
And I just wish somebody had told my husband. I got angry with him a little bit because he didn't really take care of me, but God did.
Yes.
But he didn't have the resources to do that. He was a Baptist minister, and he served medium-sized churches, but he never asked for money or salary. He just said, well, God will take care of me. Well, God will take care of you, but sometimes the churches won't. So, anyway, I just need prayer from people and from you to help me. If there's any advice you can give me, but to remind people to prepare for your later life, because you just can't do it when you get here, all of it by yourself.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
That's what I have
well,
to say.
I appreciate that. That's been an encouragement and a challenge to our listeners today, and it's one that I'm grateful you shared. I have a couple of thoughts that I'd love to share with you. First of all, God is knows what's going on in your situation. He is there and on the throne, and he can be trusted. I appreciate, despite the challenges you've had, you giving testimony to God's faithfulness. And I also appreciate your transparency, Charlotte, just about even the fear that you have had. You know, the late Larry Burkett would often say, our anxieties usually are not related to the lack of things, but to the loss of things. And Larry would go on to say that one of Satan's favorite tools to discourage Christians is the question, what if? And what if leads down that road to fear. And the problem is it makes us think about what might go wrong in the future, and we can't see the future, so why worry about it anyway? And it leads, fear is a spiritual trap. The opposite of that, obviously, is trust, and the antidote to fear is God's word, because we know that Jesus has overcome the world. John 16:33, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world. And we can also have confidence that God's in the details. Isaiah 41 tells us, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It's I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. And, you know, the enemy wants us to worry about what we might lose, but in Christ, of course, we gain so much more. Psalm 27 reminds us of that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And so, we need to lean into that, recognizing God's promises are true. And he's told us that if he's going to provide for the birds of the air, how much more would he not provide for us, his children? And yet, he's given us the ability to use our intellect to plan and prepare for the future. And so that's wise as well, that we should, there's precious oil and treasure in the house of the wise. The foolish man swallows it up. So we need to be prepared. And your admonition today, I think, to couples to make sure, even if one is the bookkeeper and more aligned with the financial matters, both need to be on the same page, and we need to be preparing for that season of life where we're no longer working so that we can provide for ourselves and our families and continue to serve the Lord in whatever way he calls. So this is a great reminder for us today. Here's what I'd like to do for you, Charlotte, if you're open to it. As our gift to you, I'd like to connect you with a certified Christian financial counselor. This is a seasoned, God-fearing believer that has really serves people as a part of their ministry in this area of financial management. And just allow that individual to come alongside you to help you get your budget situated, answer any questions you have, just help you get your financial life organized. And I think that may give you a little more peace of mind. How does that sound?
That sounds good. Thank you.
Good. Well, we'll cover the cost on that. It's a Christian financial counselor, and if you stay on the line, we'll get your information and get you connected with that person. Let me finish by praying for you today. Father, thank you for this time we've had with Charlotte today. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, we can trust you, even in these valleys like she's in right now, suffering just a heartbreaking loss. Thank you for the hope of heaven, Lord, and thank you that you are our provider, and you will never abdicate that responsibility to anyone or anything else. Thank you, Lord, that your promises are true. Thank you that you're near to the brokenhearted. I just pray that you would bring the Holy Spirit would be the comforter in her life right now, that you'd give her wisdom, you'd surround her with a community of believers for encouragement, and that you would just continue to provide for her needs, Lord. We tell you we love you today, and above all else, we're thankful for your son, Jesus, and his shed blood on the cross on our behalf, and we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Charlotte, God bless you. Thank you for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. Take care. All right. Well, folks, boy, that's a blessing and a great reminder as well that we do need to be prepared, and we need to be walking alongside our loved ones to make sure they're prepared as well. More to come on Faith and Finance around the corner. 800-525-7000. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
On the next Focus on the Family, Bob and Dana Gresh share how past sin nearly tore their marriage apart. But through God's grace and love, they found healing and growth. They'll share truths that lead to a redeemed marriage, like setting boundaries and forgiving and trusting each other. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio. Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so thankful you've joined us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and it's my privilege to serve you each morning as we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. Hey, before we head back to the phones, let me remind you, Faith and Finance is listener-supported. That means we rely on your gifts and financial support to provide this radio broadcast and all of the other ministry offerings we make available to serve God's people in their stewardship journey. If you'd like to be a financial partner, this is a great time to do it as we head toward month end and try to stay on track with our own ministry budget. Any gift will help. $40, $400, or $4,000 will go a long way to helping us continue this work. You can head to our website, faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. That's faithfi.com. Just click Give. And as our gift to you, we'd love to send you a little something just to express our appreciation, our brand new Faith Fi phone wallet. That's right. It attaches to the back of your phone. It'll be a convenient reminder to integrate your faith and finance in daily decisions. It's practical. It's got a protective RFID phone accessory. You can put in credit cards, hotel keys, IDs, even SD cards and other small items. We'd love to send that along to you as our gift for a gift to us of any amount. Again, faithfi.com. Just click Give. Thanks in advance. All right, back to the phones we go to Mississippi. Catherine, you've been very patient. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Rob, and thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your ministry.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So we have a little problem. Our son has got a credit card and used it wisely until he went back to school and then got out of school and worked on a thesis and tried to get a job and wasn't successful at first. And instead of moving home, he decided to max out the credit card and then start having interest accrue. Oh. So the credit card, the actual principal was $6,000, and the interest that is accrued so far is another $1,000. So now he owes $7,000. He has a job now, but it's not a real high-paying job. And I read an article recently that talked about transferring the possibility of transferring your balance to another credit card that will offer no interest at accruing at all and gives you time to pay it off, such as 18 months or 2 years.
Yeah.
So we wondered, is that a better solution than, and this was our other offer, although he wanted to kind of stand on his own and do it on his own. We said, why don't we pay that whole amount and then you pay us? But then when I read this article and I told him about it, I thought maybe that was a better plan. What is your advice on all of this?
Yeah, I appreciate that background. And obviously, this can be a key learning opportunity for him that can set him up for success in the future, because that's the most important thing to me. I mean, yeah, the financial side is important and we want to minimize the interest paid. But what's more important to me is, as a young man just starting out in his career and his financial life, learning the danger of debt and not finding an easy way out, I think will really be important to establish that financial foundation and ensure that this doesn't become a problem that continues to plague him into the future. And as he gets married and starts a family, and you know, the use of debt can continue to mount and really be something that holds him back. And so I want to avoid anything that's not going to allow him to learn his lesson here. And I think, clearly, in my opinion, that second option you mentioned is not a good one, in the sense that you're coming in kind of to the rescue. And I understand your heart behind it, wanting to help and minimize the interest paid, but you're kind of coming into the rescue, wiping it out, and then he's paying you all, and then things get tight, and he's, well, mom and dad, I'll pick it up next month. And now you're, I mean, the lender-borrower relationship, the Bible describes as the borrower is the lender's slave, which means it changes the relationship, and that's the last thing you want in the relationship between parents and a child. So I would just, if it were me, and this is just all it is, I mean, you all are the steward, need to make this decision, I would quickly take that one off the table. I would also probably take the one off the table with the balance transfer game. Yes, you can do that. Yes, it's legitimate. I mean, you'd probably pay 3%, or he would, on the balance transfer. So they get something. So that'd be $180 in expense on the day that you transfer the money right up front. But then you're right, if he was able to pay it off in that 18 months to 2 years, he would not have any interest. The problem is he's probably not going to do that. And now we're going to play this balance transfer game. And then he's continuing to open cards, which he may or may not be able to do with his lack of credit. And I certainly don't want you all to come in and co-sign. The Bible's really clear about not doing that. So what would be the alternative? Well, I'd probably have him put it in a credit counseling program, and that sounds scary, although it's not a part of the credit scoring algorithm. But basically, the card would be closed. He would put it into credit counseling through my friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. The interest rate would be dropped, not to zero, but it would be lowered, and then he'd have one monthly payment that he would pay no matter what the balance was. As the balance was declining, that payment would stay level, and the combination of that level payment and that reduction in interest rate is going to allow him to pay it off 80% faster on average. The key, though, in my view, is he's doing it himself. He's learning to build it into his spending plan, which that's what he needs to learn, to live within his means on a plan, only using credit for budgeted items. The moment he doesn't use credit cards any longer. And in fact, when this card is closed in credit counseling, I would have him open a debit card and operate on a cash basis for quite some time until he can demonstrate that he can live within his means and not take advantage of that credit that's available to him to spend money that he doesn't have. But give me your thoughts on all that.
That sounds like great advice. I mean, all along we've tried to kind of let him drown.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah.
You could call it
tough love.
To really own it because this had never happened before. And I think it was also a pride thing, of course.
Sure.
Standing on his own 2 feet, not wanting to move home.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but young people and their peers, you know, credit is the name of the game. So many people have credit card debt that are in their 20s and 30s. So I think that's a great idea. If we let him just stay with a card and do it himself, like the original thought or that he had, do you think that's better than switching over to the Christian credit counseling?
Do you
think that would be?
The only benefit to going through Christian credit counselors, if you had less than, typically the number is 4,000. So if you have less than 4,000 in debt, I'd say just snowball it, meaning, just limit his lifestyle, pay as much as he can every month, and just pay it off himself.
Right.
When you get over 4,000, you're talking about a significant enough balance that reduction in interest rate through credit counseling is pretty significant. It'll result in him saving, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, if not more than $1,000 over the life of the payback. So that would be
right.
The reason that I might consider doing it. But either option I think is fine. I just don't want you all to wipe it out. I don't want to pay it off with new debt. You know, I want him to do the hard work and be learn the discipline of paying it. And I want him to feel it so that when he gets on the other side of this, he doesn't repeat it.
Right. He's feeling it all right.
So, but you all think through that. Go ahead.
Is there a fee associated with when you do close your card and go with a Christian credit counseling?
There's not a fee to close the account. There would be a fee to participate in Christian credit counselors, but that would be far offset by the savings through the interest rate reduction that's only available through credit counseling. You see, every credit card company has a credit counseling rate that's significantly lower than their prevailing rate, and that's where he would save a ton of money. Does that make sense?
I see. Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
That's You're welcome. Advice. ChristianCreditCounselors.org is the website. We'll be back with much more on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking. Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. Hey, are you looking for a financial professional that can offer advice and investments that align with your Christian values? Well, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. These men and women, now more than 1,300 of them across the country, have met high standards in character and competence, signed a statement of faith, been trained to bring biblical financial advice, pastor reference, client references, a regulatory review. They have met some high standards. And you can find one, perhaps two or three, to interview in your city at faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. That's faithfi.com. Click find a CKA. All right, back to the phones we go. By the way, here in our final segment, we'll get to as many calls as we can, and we've got a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000 with your financial questions today. To Virginia. Hi, Greg. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
All right. My question is, my wife and I are getting close to the point where we could pay off our house, and in years past, in talking to our financial advisor, and honestly, really more our tax preparer, the tax preparer seems to think that it behooves us to have mortgage interest to be able to write off. At what point does it make sense to just get rid of the debt and not be paying the interest, as opposed to feeling like the interest is a benefit as a write-off?
Yeah, well, I don't think at any point it makes sense. I disagree.
There's both the financial side and the non-financial side. Let's start with the financial side. First of all, 90% of taxpayers in 2022 will use the standard deduction, which just means that they're not going to get any benefit from that mortgage interest deduction anyway, because the standard deduction in 2022 for married taxpayers is $25,900. So you got to get above that threshold to itemize before you get any benefit. Secondly, even if you do get the benefit of, you know, beyond the standard deduction, it's like giving somebody $3 so you can give it a dollar back. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to keep that mortgage just because of a quote unquote tax benefit. So, you know, I just don't follow that line of thinking. Number two, the non-financial side is a big deal in the sense that, number one, the Bible is very clear. The borrower is slave to the lender. Doesn't mean that borrowing is a sin, but there's clear warnings in Scripture. I love the idea of you being unencumbered and being able to follow the leading of the Lord without debt. I love the idea of you, at the very least, entering retirement, whenever that is, for God to reassign you to your next task, what He has for you next, without a mortgage, so that your lifestyle is as low as possible, which means you just don't have as much need for income because you're debt-free at that point. So I think for all of those reasons, you know, I would get out of debt as soon as you can. Now, at the same time, you've got to be mindful of, yes, we want to continue to save for the future, and so we want to, you know, prioritize compounding, our investments inside a retirement account. So, you know, we may not be able to pay off the mortgage as quickly as we want because we're wanting to take advantage of the opportunity to save. Number two, we need plenty of liquid reserves. So you don't want to eliminate all of your cash reserves just so you can pay down the mortgage. And then all of a sudden something comes out of left field and you don't have any way to fall back on it. So now you're incurring consumer debt. So we've got to balance all of these things. I'm not saying everybody can go pay off their mortgage today. But given the opportunity, if you're on track and saving for the long term, you've got your emergency fund and you have the ability in a efficient and tax smart way to pay off that mortgage sooner, I would say go for it. Does that make sense?
Okay. It makes perfect sense. And that's kind of what I was hoping you were going to say. We definitely have our 6 month, you know, no problem. We've got that under control. And, you know, our incomes will easily take care of, you know, putting money towards retirement, even though we don't have enough in retirement already. You know, not only our incomes, but the fact that we won't have the house payment will free up that money to be able to invest instead of just paying interest, you know, along with the principal. So I think you told me exactly what I was hoping you would tell me.
Good. Glad to hear. So where are those funds going to come from? Are you just going to kind of double up on the mortgage payment out of surplus each month, or what are you thinking? Yeah, awesome. I think that's a great idea, Greg. I think you guys will be thrilled once you do it. Let me just tell you in conclusion here, I've been doing this a long time. I've never had somebody call me and say, Rob, I paid off my mortgage last year and I've regretted it ever since. I've just literally never gotten that call. So I think you guys will be pretty happy once you're able to get to that point. Greg, thanks for being on the program today, my friend. I appreciate it. 800-525-7000. Got a few minutes left, perhaps time for one more question if you've got something on your mind and your heart today that you'd like to know about. Hey, let's tackle an email. We get emails all the time at askrob@faithfi.com. We try to read one or two of them on the program each day. Let's do that now. Julie writes to us, Hi, Rob. I need a recommendation for an online bank for savings and possibly a CD. Please and thank you. And Julie, I love that question. Right now, we can actually get some decent interest rates. Now, that's relative because here's the reality. We're still losing purchasing power at 4% interest on a savings account because inflation is still higher than 4%, but let's take what we can get, right? I like Marcus, M-A-R-C-U-S, Marcus.com and Capital One 360, but you can check Bankrate.com to find the current best rates. They will rank and sort all of the online banks by who is offering the best rates and terms right now for both online savings, high yield with FDIC insurance, CDs, and other banking products. And they'll even provide a rating system just on the strength and the customer service of the bank as well, based on a 5-star system. So you could go to bankrate.com, do your own search, or I like Marcus and Capital One 360. All right, Norma writes to us, I need some guidance on transferring my grandson's car note into his name so he can build his credit. I don't know how to get this done. I appreciate your help. This would actually be a 2-step process, although it's not going to be this simple. I'll get to that in a moment. First, your grandson would need to assume the loan. That's where there's going to be a challenge. Second, you'd need to transfer the title. So if you wish, you could wait until the loan is paid off and the lender sends you a clean title and then transfer it to your grandson. The instructions are on the back. But if the lender gives you access to the title before the loan's paid off, then you can do it when the loan is assumed. Now, having said all of this, here's the reality. It's going to be difficult for your grandson to assume this loan if he has no credit history. He'll need to file a new loan application with the current lender or another lender. They'll go through a loan approval process, including a credit check. And without any credit history, it's very unlikely, Norma, that he'll be approved to assume your loan. That's when the possibility of co-signing will likely come up. Here's my advice. Don't co-sign. The Bible is very clear. You should avoid that at all costs. To build a credit history from scratch, you can make your grandson an authorized user on your credit card. You don't have to give him the card, but your credit transactions and payments will then be reported to his credit file, building his credit history. Keep in mind, number one, we don't want to inadvertently encourage him to spend money that he doesn't have on your account. So that's not the goal here. And number two, if you had a late payment, your bad credit history would follow as well. So just make sure you're a timely payer. But that would automatically pass over to him as an authorized user. The other thing he could do would be to get a secured credit card. He'd put an amount on deposit, let's say $300 or $500 with a bank. Then he can use the card up to that limit. Let's say he makes one budgeted purchase a month, something he's planning on spending money on already. And then when he pays that off, that would be reported as an on-time payer, and he could build his credit history there. There's also something called a credit builder loan, and you could Google that or put that into whatever browser you use and learn more about it. That would be another option as well. Hope that helps you. Quickly to Texas, let's finish up with Della. Go right ahead. You're on the program.
Yes, good morning. I have a question about putting money into your 401k while you're working to defer the taxes on that income. And I have several friends, at least 10 that I know of, that they are retired now. And of course, they're earning a lot less than they did when they worked. They may have been a six-figure income earner. Now the money they're getting monthly and annually is a whole lot less. And when they pull that money down, they have to pay taxes now. And it's always a burden to people. So I'm wondering, why are people encouraged to put money in a 401k, defer the taxes, only later when they retire to pay taxes, and it's a burden to them? It makes no sense to me. So
let me try to help with that, Della. And I certainly understand where you're coming from. Number one, when you put the money in, it's during your working years. So arguably, you're in a higher tax bracket with the majority of your income while you're working than you are in retirement, where your income is lower, your taxable income is lower. So that benefit of the tax deduction when the money goes in during your working years is more powerful than the money that you're going to pay in taxes in retirement, because you should be in a lower tax bracket. Number two, you have to count the benefit of then after the tax deduction you get when the money goes in, now it's in a tax-deferred environment. Think about an umbrella. The 401k is an umbrella over the investments, so meaning the taxes run off the side and don't affect the investments as it's growing. So as you're having profits build up inside that 401k, the taxes are not having putting a drag on the investment returns. So that's a benefit to you. And then in retirement, again, when you're pulling it out, you're right, you are paying taxes on it, but you're probably, because your income is lower, in a lower tax bracket. So you're not paying as much in the way of taxes in retirement as you would have paid if you would have paid tax on that money during your working years. So my advice is, as that money comes out, you're only going to pay whatever that tax rate is. So they need to just plan on that, pull out enough to cover the taxes and what they need for their income. And then they won't be caught off guard when that tax bill comes. I hope that's helpful to you. And if you want to talk about it further, let's do that on another program. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, but we appreciate your call today. God bless you. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of my team, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. By the way, check us out at faithfi.com. And if you'd like to give to support the ministry, just click the Give button. Thanks in advance. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.